From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns takes us into the opening verses of chapter 12 as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, A Great Cloud of Witnesses. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, What of My House? The text is Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. This gospel for a man with a sword at his throat is the gospel for me. This would suit me if I were dying, and it is all that I need while I am living. I look away from self and sin and all idea of personal merit, and I trust the Lord Jesus as the Savior whom God has given. I believe in Him. I rest on Him. I accept Him to be my all in all. Lord, I am saved, and I shall be saved to all eternity, for I believe in Jesus. Blessed be Thy name for this. May I daily prove by my life that I am saved from selfishness and worldliness and every form of evil. But those last words about my house, Lord, I would not run away with half a promise when Thou dost give a whole one. I beseech Thee, save all my family, save the nearest and dearest, convert the children and the grandchildren if I have any. Be gracious to my servants and all who dwell under my roof or work for me. Thou makest this promise to me personally if I believe in the Lord Jesus. I beseech Thee to do as Thou hast said. I would go over in my prayer every day the names of all my brothers and sisters, parents, children, friends, relatives, servants, and give Thee no rest till that word is fulfilled, and Thy house. the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. For many weeks now, Dr. Alan Cairns has been conducting a series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that chapter known as the Hall of Fame of the Heroes of Faith. Although Dr. Cairns has finished his exposition of chapter 11, the spirit of the passage actually carries over into chapter 12. We find there imagery of a great sporting event, such as the Olympics, in which the saints in heaven are characterized as a great cloud of witnesses. As Dr. Cairns is explaining, the connotation is of a group who serve as spectators to a race and who cheer for those who compete. From this text in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we see that believers are called to run a race for God. This is the nature of our calling, and the thought of those heavenly witnesses ought to inspire us to run our best so that we may obtain what Paul spoke of as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called A Great Cloud of Witnesses.
I can certainly attest that the memory of great men has a salutary effect. I was saved as a young boy in the Salvation Army in the city of Belfast, the central citadel core in Belfast. I am sure every Salvation Army hall has this. I'm not certain, but I'm sure they would have it. I can still see that old building. Walking up the long hallway, going into the fairly large auditorium, and you had pillars supporting a balcony, as far as I remember. Not that I ever got up there, but certainly was holding up something. And over on the wall, they had this picture of an old man. And I never remember walking into that Salvation Army hall without looking at that picture. It seemed to rivet your attention. It was a picture of William Booth, that venerable patriarch of Salvationism. When you looked at that man's picture, I want to tell you, it put fire in your heart. And even as a young fellow, I felt that. It put a determination in your soul. It made you realize what I'm doing is worth doing. The battle I'm in is worth fighting. The race I'm running is worth running. And the cause I am serving is the cause of all causes. It's worth spending and being spent in. Now, if one picture of William Booth could impart, even to a little boy, such a feeling, how much more will an understanding of Hebrews 11 encourage God's people to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? So today I want us to think of this great cloud of witnesses. I don't think I really need to say this, but just in case there is some super literalist among you, the cloud is a picturesque way that the Scripture uses fairly frequently to speak of great crowds. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians 4, describing what some people mistakenly call the rapture, which is not given the etymology of the word, not the greatest idea for 1 Thessalonians 4. It's the gathering of God's people to meet the Lord in the air. But whatever you call it, we're caught up not in the clouds. That would be redundant, given what is also said in the verse, but we're caught up in clouds. We're caught up in great unnumbered myriads. We're caught up in all the many millions of the people of God to meet the Lord in the air. The word clouds is a word that speaks of great numbers. We're going to look at the clouds of witnesses and what they have to say to us. First of all, let me remark that they teach us the nature of our calling in Christ. We are to run the race. Our calling is to run a race, and to run it with patience or with perseverance. Let me remark right away that faith in Jesus Christ is expressed by works. You're not saved by works, but you'll not be saved without them. That's what the Epistle of James teaches. You're not saved on the merit of works, but if you're saved on the merit of Christ, you'll work. If you're a new creature in Christ, there's going to be fruit for it. I have absolutely no time for this nonsense that is being foisted on fundamentalism today under the disguise of grace, that tells a man you simply make up your mind and make a decision, and it doesn't matter if there's any fruit in your life, if there's any change in your life, we assure you you're going to heaven. Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And if you're not a new creature, you're not in Christ. It's as simple as that. You're not a perfect creature while you're in the flesh.
But you're a new creature. There's a work of grace that has taken place. Faith that does not produce works, James says, is a dead faith. And if anybody thinks that he gets spiritual life from a dead faith, he's a psychiatric case. It's impossible. You cannot be saved by dead faith. Faith in a living Christ is a living faith. It is a fruitful faith. It's a productive faith. In other words, when you have faith in Christ, you run the race. Faith worketh. That's what Paul said to the Galatians. It works by love. Love is its mighty motivation, but it works nonetheless. We're called to run this race, therefore. Now, the race we're running, and this is for our encouragement, is over a predetermined course. I want you to get this very clearly. It's very simple, but it does give very practical help to Christians in varying times of trouble. Our course is a prescribed course. Prescribed simply means pre-written. It is a course that God has set. In other words, our times, our circumstances, our trials, our troubles, our pains, our aches, our sorrows, our bereavements are all in His hand. This prescribed course has a predetermined end. In other words, there is a goal. There is a finishing line. And to quote again the words of Philippians 3, we are called to forget the things that are past, to look forward to the things that are to come, and to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
This race is not a sprint. You may go as fast as you wish, but it's not a sprint. You will not dash for 25 yards, 50 yards, or 100 yards and say, thank God, that's my race over, now I can meander for the rest of my life. That's not the way it is. It's more of a marathon. I must say that I have a great admiration for marathon runners. I don't have the physique to be a marathon runner. In fact, I neither have the age nor the physique to run more than the length of myself. But anyway, and that's not very long, I can tell you. If it were round now, that may be a marathon, but you'll notice I didn't say that. A marathon race is one that I stand in awe of. I think of two great marathon runners, two of the greatest runners in the history of athletics, suffering a similar fate, running for the vast majority of that course, ahead of the field, ahead of the record pace. Nobody had ever run a marathon in their day like these men. And one of them, within, 100, 200 yards of a finishing line of a course that was 26 miles, 385 yards long, staggering, falling, getting up again, falling, dehydrated, and then finally collapsing, not finishing the course, makes me understand the folly of people who simply look back and say, I used to run well. Running well in the past is fine, so long as it's not an excuse for giving up running now. Forgetting the things that are past, what use to a marathon runner that he says, look, I run the first 10 miles and it was wonderful. What use to an athlete today who says, oh, but 5 years ago I was on top, I was able to run every race and beat all the competition, but today I can't do it. You know, that's easily done. I remember
a British athlete who entranced the whole of Britain and enchanted them, and undoubtedly one of the greatest runners ever to go on the track in middle distance running, and indeed in long distance running. When Bruce Tullow hit the track, he was unbeatable. He took on the world's greatest athletes and decimated the field. This frail little body pounding round the track, nobody could beat him. There came a time when Bruce Tullow could not beat himself. And it was a sad and a tragic thing to see this finely tuned athletic machine get on a track and run and then just drop out. The mental toughness had gone. He could think back to what he was, but that was not much help in what he had to be today. A lot of Christians like that. I have met Christians like that. They look back. Oh, I used to do this. I used to do that. I used to be very diligent in the prayer meeting. I used to be very diligent in the study of the Word of God. I used to make sure that I gave my testimony. I used to go after souls. I used to do this. And I used to do the other thing. But today, I'm making no progress in the work of God. Forget the things that are past. Your successors, thank God for the grace that gave them, but don't rest upon your laurels. Your failures, put them under the blood. And looking forward to the great goal that is before you, with your eye upon the Christ of God and the goal that He sets before you, run with patience the race that is yours to run. You'll see immediately that such a race requires all the concentration of all your energies. It requires a great and vigorous exertion, and it requires total commitment. You read Hebrews 11 again. Look at those men, starting from Abel, right the whole way through the Old Testament. Do you not see that with all their faults and failings, and they had them, yet there was a concentration of energy and of output for the one great thing that really mattered? That's the nature of our calling. Christianity is not a part-time job for any man of God. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. We have got to the place of thinking that full-time service belongs to ministers and youth ministers and missionaries and people who are on the staff of the church. Yes, they have a full-time job, but so do you. It was Bob Jones Sr. who emphasized that ultimately to the Christian there should be no distinction between the secular and the sacred in employment. In other words, all we do must be consecrated to Jesus Christ. And in the daily round and the common task, we are to see opportunities to serve Christ. All our energy is to be given to the work of God and to the honor of the cause of Christ. So that whatever we do unto Him and for His glory. There's vigorous exertion here. It costs. It really costs if you are going to run with patience the race that is set before us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.